No, don't kneel. In heaven's name, why should you kneel to me? For the truth. Oh, dear, good, compassionate sir, for the truth.
A matter of business. You confuse me. And how can I transact business if I am confused?
Let us be clear-headed. If you could kindly mention now, for instance, what 9 times 9 pence are, or how many shillings in 20 guineas, it would be so encouraging. I should be so much more at my ease about your state of mind.
Without directly answering to this appeal, she sat so still when he had gently raised her, and the hands that had not ceased to clasp his wrists were so much more steady than they had been, that she communicated some reassurance to Mr. Jarvis Lorry.
That's right. That's right. Courage. Business. You have business before you. Useful business. Miss Manette, your mother took this course with you. And when she died, I believe broken-hearted, having never slackened her unavailing search for your father, she left you, at 2 years old, to grow to be blooming, beautiful, and happy, without the dark cloud upon you of living in uncertainty whether your father soon wore his heart out in prison or wasted there through many lingering years.
As he said the words, he looked down with admiring pity on the flowing golden hair, as if he pictured to himself that it might have been already tinged with grey.
You know that your parents had no great possession, and that what they had was secure to your mother and to you. There has been no new discovery of money or of any other property. But he felt his wrist held closer, and he stopped. The expression in the forehead, which had so particularly attracted his notice and which was now immovable, had deepened into one of pain and horror.
But he has been found. He is alive.
Greatly changed, it is too probable. Almost a wreck, it is possible. Though we will hope the best. Still, alive. Your father has been taken to the house of an old servant in Paris, and we are going there. I to identify him if I can, you to restore him to life, love, duty, rest, comfort. A shiver ran through her frame, and from it through his. She said in a low, distinct, awe-stricken voice, as if she were saying it in a dream,
"I'm going to see his ghost. It will be his ghost, not him."
Mr. Lorry quietly chafed the hands that held his arm.
"There, there, there. See now, see now. The best and the worst are known to you now. You are well on your way to the poor wronged gentleman, and with a fair sea voyage and a fair land journey, you will be soon at his dear side." She repeated in the same tone, sunk to a whisper,
"I have been free. I have been happy. Yet his ghost has never haunted me."